This is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand.
And I'm Alex Cohen. In cities across the country, ridership on buses, trains, and subways is up. But mass transit systems remain critically underfunded. Transit authorities are considering all sorts of solutions, including raising fares and dropping some routes.
Some relief could come from the federal government's stimulus package that we just discussed. $30 billion could go to rail and mass transit.
That comes as especially good news to our next guest. He's a big fan of trains who once served on Amtrak's board of directors, though you may know him better as the former governor of Massachusetts and the Democratic presidential nominee in 1988. Michael Dukakis joins us now. Welcome to the program.
Good to be with you.
$30 billion, that's quite a bit of money. How can that money best be used to get the most out of rail and mass transit?
Well, actually, there are some strenuous efforts being made right now to increase that amount because I think a lot of us who have been part of the transportation debate and picture in this country for a long time really want to see a much more emphasis placed on rail and transit than we've had in the past, and this is a great time to do it. So I think actually we'll probably get more than $30 billion. Now, what's it going to go for? Well, first and foremost, to begin the process of building a first-class national rail passenger system in this country. I mean, you go to Europe, you go to Japan, Alex, you can come back, and it's embarrassing. I mean, you're riding on 200-mile-an-hour trains, on excellent transit systems. You come back to the United States, and with the exception of the Northeast Corridor, you kind of pooping along at about 80 miles an hour, and most of our metropolitan areas do not have first-rate public transportation systems, although they want them. So this is a huge opportunity, not only to put people to work, but to do so in a way which transforms this country's transportation system and is also consistent with what we ought to be doing to reduce global warming, to become much more energy efficient. I mean, all of those goals are served if you invest in transit and high-speed rail.
There's a story this week in the New York Times that finds ridership mass transit is up across the board, more fares than ever, and still mass transit systems are suffering. So how might they be able to use some of this money to get us on board with other countries that are doing it right?
There are a lot of plans out there. There are many systems that do have projects ready to go. Not enough, quite frankly, because I think one of the things that's happened here, and it was particularly true during the Bush years, was that we weren't getting anywhere near the resources we should have been getting, and so a lot of plans were deferred. I mean, it's not that we don't. There are 100 cities that are looking at light rail systems, for example, at streetcar systems. And in many cases, those are already working very effectively, and some of them are right here in California. You know, it's not true that Californians will not ride good public transportation. The Blue Line from downtown to Long Beach is the most successful light rail system in the country. San Diego has an excellent light rail system and so on. So there's an enormous amount of interest. But because resources have been tight, a lot of the planning and engineering that you got to do before you go into the ground just hasn't been done. The first priority has got to be to get cracking on projects that are all ready to go, and there are many of those all over the country. I mean, the American Public Transportation Association has identified something like $50 billion worth of transit and rail projects that could be done in the next couple of years. So they're out there, and if the stimulus package passes, as I hope it does, then we can get moving on this stuff and not only, as I say, put people to work, but really begin to transform this country's transportation system.
You mentioned the successful rail line here in Southern California, and I think it's easy to see, anyone who spent any time on a freeway in Los Angeles could see why people might well prefer to take public transit. But I'm concerned about other parts of the country. Now that gas is no longer $4 or $5 a gallon, might it be hard to convince people to get out of the cars and onto trains or something?
I don't think so. As you know, gasoline prices are starting to inch up again, which is simply a not-so-gentle reminder that it's not likely we're going to have $1.50 gas in this country ever, quite frankly. And I think people really learned a lot from this run-up in gasoline prices. So I think there's been a fundamental change in people's attitudes about all of this, both in terms of the kinds of cars that they want to buy and at the same time what they're prepared to invest public money in when it comes to transportation. Now, that does not mean that we don't have to maintain our highways and roads. I mean, they're in frightful shape, and if you think they're bad here, come back with me to Massachusetts. I mean, I've never seen our roads and highways in the kind of shape they're in. So we have a lot to do on that score. But in terms of moving forward with new plans and new systems, that, I think, ought to be almost entirely rail-based.
Here in California, voters recently approved $10 billion in bonds to start working on an 800-mile high-speed rail line between San Francisco and Los Angeles. And we should mention you are here in Southern California. You're at UCLA right now as we speak, where you teach.
Every winter. It's wonderful.
Well, what do you think of this new plan for the high-speed
rail?
Well,
I was a big supporter of it. I don't see how you can look at this state's future. I mean, we're talking, what, about 50 million people? In the next 25 years, how can you possibly look at the future of California and not conclude that a first-class, European-style, if you will, Japanese-style, Asian-style system doesn't make sense for California? I mean, think about it. 2 hours and 40 minutes from downtown Los Angeles to downtown San Francisco on the ground. 55 minutes from Los Angeles to San Diego. Now, this may sound astonishing to Americans, but it's the kind of high-speed rail that our friends in Europe and Asia have been enjoying for years. I mean, the Japanese had their first bullet train in 1964. Of course, in those days, it only went 130 miles an hour. Now it's going 190 miles an hour. The Chinese are building a high-speed rail line from Beijing to Guangzhou, which is going to have top speeds of 225 miles an hour. And here we are, and they're putting us in their rearview mirror. So I think it's absolutely essential. I'm delighted that a majority of the voters voted for it. Now it's a question of moving ahead with this, getting support from the federal side, and really getting serious about a modern, first-class, high-speed rail system for California.
But let's look at it from another angle. Some might say the state right now is incredibly cash-strapped. The unemployment insurance fund is potentially running out of money. Couldn't you make the argument that $10 billion for a train that only some people are going to ride is not the best use of funds?
Well, millions of people are going to ride this thing. I don't think there's any question about that. And California, despite its problems, and it's going to have to come to grips with them. I don't think there's any question about that. Everybody knows that. But despite its problems, can't just kind of stop doing what it's got to do to build its economic future. We've got to move ahead with these things. I mean, we just can't sit here treading water because the rest of the world is not. They're just moving ahead with this stuff, and we've got to do at least as well, if not better.
Michael Dukakis teaches leadership courses at UCLA. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.